go through what our what is a FEMA program, and then talk some about how community health nurses have really taken the lead in this as a public health approach to decreasing health disparities, as well as well as bringing communities together. Let's see. And it's working. That's Baltimore. That's where I work most of the time. I don't have anything to disclose. And the kinds of things we're going to talk about is the role of the public health nurse, look at some examples of what local FEMA programs have done, and then some of the advantages of having a FEMA process in your community. FYI, tomorrow I'm going to be doing, we have a new video on FEMA that's 6 minutes, and I'm going to do that tomorrow morning. But FEMA is essentially a continuous quality improvement program, and so, as you can see, it is cyclical, and I'm sure you're familiar with those. And what happens is that cases of infant mortality are de-identified, and the thing that is unique about FEMA that we're going to talk about is how we interview mothers who've had an infant die. One thing, when we look at infant deaths, I thought it was interesting that Julia Lathrop had a paper back in 1918 about how important it is for us to look in detail at what happens when infants die, and the concerns with all of the issues around that. And so FEMA really is a community coalition. It started in 1990, and we have about 200 FEMAs across the country. So if you're not familiar with one, take a look at your community. There may be one. They very much have moved along, I think, because of the involvement of public health nursing within them. And so the key piece about FEMA is that the mother tells her story and her perspective on why her baby died. And that is a key piece of information that I think sometimes we don't have in terms of looking at who the user is and how important it is to hear their story and their information. And one of the reasons, well, let's keep going. Okay, so FEMA interviews really give a voice to women in the community that are suffering from this tragedy. And so the way FEMA works is that we have the de-identified information. That information from deaths is looked at by a case review team that makes some recommendations about how they could have made a difference in the death of this child and potentially have prevented the death of the child. That information goes to a community action team who have on their group individuals that can make a difference in the community. And so the community action team is then charged with taking action with these recommendations. And those actions are some of the things we're going to take a look at that we've seen happen in various communities. Just as a little side note, Hopkins University, the Bloomberg School of Public Health, evaluated FEMA and found that it really was an effective approach to look at public health functions. The other the other part of FEMA that's used in other places, we're using it in Baltimore City to take a look at three neighborhoods and how we can improve services to families, not just with death, but public health approach in general in terms of access to care and when services are provided. And so we're using this approach to actually move things along because we've had so many difficulties with our health disparities in that particular area. And the health department thinks that that will make a difference in terms of how we're addressing disparities in infant mortality. And so communities that are concerned with MCH system improvement are ones that this has been very relevant and expanded beyond FEMR programs for death specifically. And so we've seen some action with that. These are the most frequent issues that arise from FEMR programs, and honestly, when we look at infant mortality, it's not really surprising that when mothers are interviewed, these are some of the issues that they've identified as their perspective on why their child died. The teams have learned specifically that the messages have not necessarily been culturally competent, that mothers did not understand the messages, or they've got different messages. One of the cases that we looked at when we were doing some training about FEMR, for example, a mother talked about how the nurse in the NICU said that it was okay to use a pack and play. The public health nurse said that no, she shouldn't do that. The social worker had another comment about sleeping, and so this mother had three different messages about what she should do with putting her baby on the back in a safe sleep environment. And it showed us that we're getting too many mixed messages out there in terms of safe sleep for babies. And we wouldn't know that if we hadn't really talked to this mother about where she had gotten information, because we had done targeted information sessions with different providers. And so it really, I think, is an eye-opener about the effectiveness of some of your health messaging and what's happening. FEMR teams look at these messages, and to have an effective one, we really think it depends on what the message is and who's delivering it so that it has some credibility. So FEMR really is looking at multicultural needs and solutions. Most of them are in areas that have three or more culture groups, and when we look at it nationally, these are the different groups that are represented by within FEMR programs. Again, this is a local approach to looking at health disparities and infant mortality specifically. And so diverse community partnerships really make it happen. And I think that's one of the reasons public health nursing has come to the fore and embraced this particular approach. When we look at all the FEMRs throughout the country, approximately two-thirds of them are directed by nurses, public health nurses. We have nurses involved in various levels of the actual FEMR process. If they're not directing it, they may be an abstractor. There are also partnerships with academic institutions. In Baltimore City, for example, the FEMR abstractor is a maternal child health nurse that's on the faculty at our school. The person that coordinates the FEMR has a master's in health systems, is not a nurse, but there are other nurses that are involved in it. And so nurses have really embraced this as a way that we can make a difference in these areas. And so that role has been very positive. Interesting, FEMR did not start out planning to be a nurse type of functioning, but that's how it has evolved over the years now. One of the things we've found that we have had such success in women telling us what has happened, as well as help engaging agencies that can actually fix the problem. And having worked before I started doing work with FEMR, I worked with the local the statewide SIDS program, and that was one piece. Is that mothers really wanted to talk about what happened and their perspective on why it happened. And it really is a very positive piece for mothers to be able to talk about their experience. These are a couple of the things that happened as a result of the FEMR processes in Virginia, and looking at safe sleep. They found that there were too many things in the bed with the babies, and so you can see, I don't know if you can find the baby in some of these or the kids, but bedding is a problem. And then we all know that unless messages are relevant culturally and with some racial diversity, you think it doesn't apply to you necessarily. And so this particular back to sleep piece was then picked up with NICHD. One of my favorite projects is in Jacksonville, Florida, Project Moses. This is a partnership with the church in Jacksonville, and they found that babies didn't have a safe place to sleep, so they made this, they covered bassinets and started handing out safe places for babies initially, as well as giving them some safe sleep information. Milwaukee has done a lot with getting out SIDS risk reduction messages with a number of different forums that are used, whether it's by a religious group, you know, by the churches, other places where people congregate where there might be infants. The little arrow's in the wrong place, but they found that some of the literature was not in the right language. Mothers did not understand it, as well as the importance of preterm labor. And so this is another example of partnering with March of Dimes this time and providing information that mothers could understand and read. I personally don't believe in any handouts these days. I think if you don't talk to people or somehow get messages across that way, I mean, who reads anything? And anyway, that's just a little editorial. Another part is not understanding the importance of premature labor and preventing preterm labor, and that can result in an infant death. And so this was a project that looked at it through the church-based messages. If you want to start a femur, or if you're interested in the project and more examples, we are very fortunate that MCHB actually funds a National Resource Center that is in Washington, D.C. that provides technical assistance and support to femur programs. And so Kathleen Buckley is the director of that program, and she is available to help, and that should be an ORG instead of an OTG because I changed it right before the presentation and made a mistake. So anyway, that web address is much easier to use than the long one I put in the handout with that. It really is an amazing process that has been very successful in helping the community make a difference in their community by structuring things and having them own the problem and then determine what the solutions are to the problem in the communities that it has worked well. As I said, we're using the process now in Baltimore City to take a look at three particular neighborhoods that we're trying to make some difference in terms of the health in general of those populations. And it really is a structure that communities can use to improve the health of the folks who are living there. And I think that is probably the shortest period of time I have ever talked about femur. How about that? Is that like about the right amount of time? I know we're going to have questions at the end. The material, you've got all the slides. You know, nobody ever complains when you like do it more quickly, right? Thank you.